Blog Talk Radio.
Of UCA Radio, where you will find music and a message. I'm your host, Pastor T. Meyer McCain of Church of Jesus Christ Ministry, located at 869 North Euclid Avenue, Upland, California, 91786, and our services starts at 1:30 p.m. every Sunday. That's right, in the afternoon. Okay, all right. Call, text, or inbox all your friends and family members and tell them to dial in for this special edition of UCA Radio. We're completing our series on who God is, unveiling the mystery of who God is. So tell your friends and family members to dial in 646-668-8537. That's 646-668 8537, or you can look for my post on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, wherever, and just click on the link or just dial the number, okay? Wherever you see it, okay? And just go ahead and do that. On Facebook, you can click on the link or on my picture anytime this week and hear the entire program. All right? And don't forget to tune in to The Message of Life. You can catch us on YouTube and so many others, Roku and so many other media formats, okay? So we're on hsbn.tv, okay? So don't forget to see that. That's it's like Christian talk, but it's you can see us. It's T. Meyer and Tecila McCain. The Message of Life. And by the way, speaking of Christian Talk, don't forget to tune in to Christian Talk on Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Pacific time, okay? And, of course, we're here every Monday with UCA Radio to give you a message, a really good message. All right, so do not go away. We will be right back after this. my Redeemer lives, and I know you know it too. You're listening to UCA Radio, where you will find music and a message. I'm Pastor T-Mar McCain, and right now, let's get right into our series, okay? Remember last week, we talked about how Jesus actually went to hell, and we're going to talk a little bit about that and go into some other things as well. So here we go, all right? Jesus suffered. He suffered as a sinful man. He suffered as a sinful man would suffer in hell. A lot of people don't want to talk about that, theologians. A lot of them say that Jesus never went to hell, but he did. He died for our sins. That means that he took all the sins of the world upon himself, which means what? Which means he took the punishment, and the punishment is eternal hell. That was it. Jesus actually went there. He took our sufferings. However, Jesus did not burn in hell. Now, that part he did not do. The demons were constantly mocking and making fun of him while he was in hell, biting and attacking him. The stench of these horrible, filthy, detestable, gruesome creatures grabbing at him and seriously hating him, and him not being able to breathe because of the smell of burning souls and spirits, which smelled like flesh, and being nauseated by other stomach-turning smells as well, the pain and suffering of his spirit and soul was far greater than his physical suffering on the cross because he couldn't die to find relief. There was nothing but fear. Great fear like you have never known, complete loneliness and hatred to the highest degree. Everything was ugly and gruesome. There was no peace, no security. Can you imagine that? No peace, no security, no comfort, no pure light, no joy, no laughter. Just crying, moaning, and misery, and voices screaming in terror of other souls being tormented. Keep in mind that he was seeing and experiencing all of this as he would if we were to go to hell. You see, he was experiencing all of this as we would experience it if we were to go to hell. But praise God, Jesus delivered us from having to go through all of this because he took all of our punishment upon himself, physical, mental, spiritual, emotional, and the very torment of his very soul. He took it all upon himself so that we would not have to experience it ourselves. He did it all for us. People have no idea all that Jesus had to go through while his soul was in hell. Jesus saw terrible and horrible sights. The demons were continually laughing at him and telling him that he was a fool to die for the sins of the world, for the sins of the people, and that God had forsaken him. And now here you are in hell with us for eternity. The demons actually thought that Jesus was going to be there for eternity. The spiritual torment was so great and continuous that any ordinary person would have simply lost their minds. And, well, actually, they did. But still, there was no escape, no relief. Although a person may be in hell, you still have the ability to think and be mentally tormented. And your spiritual senses are all intact. Therefore, your spirit can still feel pain as though you were still in your physical body, and your soul is continually vexed with no relief, no rest. I've heard many people talk about how they died and had a horrifying experience in hell and was allowed to come back to talk about it. All of them would break down in tears as they spoke about their experience. Hell is a horrible place. They were either crying because the experience was real and horrible, or they were crying because of being grateful that the Lord pulled them out of there. Why did Jesus allow them to experience hell? Because Jesus wanted them to get a small glimpse of what he had to suffer and to let them see and understand that this is what he was delivering them from. Hell is total separation from God, total separation from love, life, joy, and peace. None of that exists in hell. In hell, you are surrounded by hatred, anger, and so much filth, it will cause you to regurgitate even when there's nothing else for your stomach to bring up. You are in total darkness with just a little dim light coming from flames of people burning, being bright enough to see the most terrifying creatures. And this would happen off and on, but continually. And fear like you would never believe. All hope is gone when you're in hell. Demons continually remind you that you are there forever. Jesus knew he had to go through all of this, and his faith in the Father still had to be strong, even though he was in hell. He still had to walk by faith, although he was in hell. He knew that he was on a mission, and this is the part that he had to do for us. But he had to do it as a man. Remember that and keep that in mind. God did all of this as a mere man, not as God. He had to complete the course, and hell was part of that course. Therefore, he had to strengthen himself in the Lord. Jesus knew that his time in hell would come. He knew that this time would come. But even as a soul and spirit, Jesus kept the word of God that he spoke by the Holy Spirit to the Father by prophecy through King David hundreds of years earlier when Jesus was referring to himself being in hell. This is what the Lord Jesus said through King David, Psalm 16, verse 10, "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither will you suffer your Holy One to see corruption." Jesus spoke those words back then because it would be needed at the moment that he was actually in hell. He knew that he would go to hell, but not be left there. Nevertheless, it was horrible. It was a horrible experience because Jesus was in his human spirit and soul when he experienced hell. He did not like that experience at all. But glory be to God. He endured the cross and he endured hell. And although he was suffering while in hell, he still preached to the spirits that were in prison. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 19. "For Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit, in which he also went and preached to the spirits in prison who disobeyed long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built." These spirits were in prison under the earth. They were in hell, not paradise, like so many theologians teach. Just think about that. The human spirits that were locked up, those who disobeyed in the days of Noah, were set free because Jesus himself died for them and preached to them as well. That's why the Lord wants us to win souls, so that mankind would be delivered and would not have to experience what he had to go through. Jesus is God's Holy One, and Jesus did not see corruption, and his soul was not left in hell, according to his word that he spoke through King David. God took him out of hell and raised him from the dead. God brought him back to physical life and then allowed Mary to see him so that she could be a witness that he is risen. But she was not allowed to touch him until after he completed the resurrection process. Jesus fulfilled his mission. Now he has a celestial body, a glorified body, a resurrected body that cannot be destroyed. He was caught up to heaven to be at the right hand of the Father with all dominion and power, and a name that is above all names. And just as he took the punishment of our sins upon himself, which was a punishment that we so rightly deserve, he gave to us in return his mercy, his grace, his blessings, his spirit, his body, his authority, his life, and his glory, which is something we do not deserve. Nevertheless, he gave it to us. Thank you, Jesus. That's what you call grace. Grace is giving. It is God's unmerited favor. Grace gives. And when we submit to God and love God and trust, believe, receive, and have faith in God, then he actually gives us more of his grace. And true grace gives us the strength that keeps us from a lifestyle of sin. It is truly unmerited favor. We did nothing to deserve it. All of this is what our Savior suffered just for us, and it's a great mystery. Paul actually summed it up beautifully in this scripture, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. He said, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh," that means he was brought to light, clearly seen in the flesh, God, "justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." Jesus ministered to the living and the dead. He reconciled us back to the Father. And when the Lord was resurrected, his resurrection power was so powerful that other saints that had died came back to life. It was said that they came to life and went into the cities preaching the word of God. Now, let's unveil the mystery about the resurrection. Let's move on to the resurrection. Now that Christ is resurrected and glorified, let's talk more about the mystery of the resurrection. But first, allow me to further explain why Mary couldn't touch Jesus when she saw him after his resurrection or after he came back to life. She was only to be a witness that he is alive. He has risen. Jesus could not allow, or he could not be touched at that time, because he had to bring his blood and sprinkle it upon the altar in heaven. He had to complete his mission. According to the Levitical law, the high priest could not be touched when he took the blood of a lamb into the Holy of Holies, lest he be defiled and he would have to start all over again. Jesus could not be touched after his resurrection because he would be defiled and would have had to start the process of redemption all over again. Jesus was raised from the dead, but even that wasn't enough. Jesus had to complete his mission. It wasn't enough that he was raised from the dead, because many people were raised from the dead by the power of God, but Jesus had to go on to perfection. He had to be resurrected. Jesus had to complete his mission by being resurrected or changed. He had to go to the Father and receive his celestial resurrection body and then return to earth. That's why he didn't allow Mary to touch him. He said, "Touch me not, for I have not ascended to the Father." He had to complete his resurrection by ascending to the Father in order to be the accepted sacrifice for mankind and receive his reward as a man. And he did. Now, he has dominion and power over the heavens and the earth. Then he returned to his disciples, and then he allowed them to touch him. This was after he had ascended to the Father, after his resurrection. He did that for us so that we will receive our resurrected bodies. He went to prepare a place for us. He overcame death, and now we are to overcome death. He has a celestial resurrected body, and we are to have a celestial resurrected body. When Easter approaches, and think about this, when Easter approaches and on Easter Sunday, you will hear sermons about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ and the resurrection. You will hear about how Jesus suffered on the cross, how he was beaten, whipped, and all of the many details surrounding his death. But not many truly focus on the resurrection part and the true revelation of the resurrection. The crucifixion of Jesus Christ was great and at the same time terrible, but the resurrection of Jesus Christ was the greatest thing to ever happen to the human race. Let's talk about true resurrection. First of all, let me say this. There is no God in history that has ever been able to raise someone from the dead, and I mean when they are good and dead. And there is no God that could raise himself from the dead except the Almighty Lord God Jehovah, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, our Savior. He's the only one that could raise himself from the dead. After the fall of Adam and Eve, death came into the world, and God had to have a way of defeating death. And the only way death could be defeated is for God himself to do what no other so-called gods could do, and that is to die for our sins and raise himself from the dead and then resurrect himself. You notice I said raise himself from the dead and then resurrect himself. Let me explain further. In order for mankind to understand the resurrection, they would have had to see someone come back to life in the natural. That's why Jesus went about raising the dead, because the people had to see someone raised from the dead, which was a type of the resurrection. And as we look throughout biblical history, we have seen instances where people were brought back to life, which was just a glimpse or a type or a shadow of true resurrection. There's a difference between being raised from the dead and the resurrection. Difference. In the book of Kings, when the woman's son fell sick and died, and she ran to Elijah, and he laid his body over the young man and prayed, and his life returned. Kings chapter 17, verse 22. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. But he wasn't resurrected. His spirit or soul returned to his body, but he wasn't resurrected. Hold on and let me explain. I don't want you to get confused. Real resurrection means renewal, renaissance, rebirth, a resurgence to be mentally, physically, and spiritually changed. The resurrection is the end result of truly being fully born again. Don't forget that. There are others or other words that we use to describe resurrection in the natural, like revived or recovered, but that doesn't seem to grasp, it doesn't grasp the fullness of what being resurrected truly is, because it is a revelation. It's a mystery that only God can unveil. To be truly resurrected means you will be living in a body that is likened unto the glorified body of Jesus Christ, because it will be his full righteousness clearly seen physically and spiritually in you and upon you. I can go all through the scriptures, and you will not see anywhere where it is written that people were resurrected until after Jesus was resurrected. Because when others throughout the Bible came back to life, they came back in their fallen natured bodies. Think about it. But when Jesus came back to life, he wasn't in the same body. He came back in his resurrected body, a changed heavenly body. Jesus told Martha that he is the resurrection. Therefore, no one could have been resurrected unless Jesus resurrected them. John 11, verses 25 and 26. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, continually believe in him, though he were dead, yet shall he live. That's the resurrection. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Is what he's asking. If you live and continue to believe, you won't die, but you will be changed. That's resurrection. The Lord made it clear that if you are dead, you will be resurrected into a celestial body. And if you were alive, you will be changed into a resurrected celestial body. It's all the resurrection. It's change. Jesus brought Lazarus back to life because he had to show the people someone coming back to life in the natural, right before their eyes. This was something that they had to see for themselves in order to show and prove to them that he is the resurrection. And only he can bring them back to life. And that he could even truly resurrect people. But the time of the true resurrection had not come until after Jesus himself was resurrected, after he had ascended up to the Father. Therefore, Lazarus was brought back to life, but he was brought back into his fallen natured body. But now, in this hour, since the resurrection of our Savior, we have come to the time that the resurrection starts as soon as a Christian dies or sleep. Keep in mind that Christians do not die. They sleep. If you truly are a follower and believer of the Lord Jesus Christ, then you do not die. You are immediately resurrected into your celestial body, just like the body that Jesus demonstrated after his resurrection. Even Paul spoke of this in Philippians chapter 1, verses 23 and 24. Paul said, I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, because he knew that once he transitioned that he would be with Christ. You know, we would say, the world would say once he died, but once he transitioned, he would immediately be with Christ. And he says, that's far better. He said, which is far better. Nevertheless, Paul says, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Paul knew that if he died or slept, he would immediately be with Jesus and he would be in his celestial resurrected body. That's why he said it would be much better. But he knew that his brothers and sisters in this realm still needed him to stay with them for a while. Many had the knowledge of the resurrection, like Job, who said, although worms eat my body, yet in my flesh I shall see God, Job chapter 19, verses 25 and 26, for I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been thus destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God. He knew that although his body would be destroyed, yet he shall keep on living. He spoke of the resurrection. This was prophetic. Abraham had knowledge of the resurrection and believed. That's why he was willing to obey the Lord and offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice to God, because he knew that God could bring him back to life, because God made him a promise. God said, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. God ministered to Abraham about Jesus Christ being crucified and then resurrected. So he believed that God was able to bring his son Isaac back to life in order to fulfill the promise that he made, that God made to Abraham. Because just as God shall bring Jesus back to life, he will bring Isaac back to life. This is how Abraham was thinking. Because God promised him that Jesus, the Messiah, would come from his seed. And that seed was Isaac. Jesus said it himself. He said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. That means that resurrection was shown to him, and even David prophesied about resurrection when he said, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In the 23rd Psalm, the house that he was referring to was his celestial resurrected body. True resurrection doesn't mean that you are resurrected back into your same fallen nature body. That only occurs when you are simply brought back to life, or your spirit returned into your returned to your natural body. But when true resurrection occurs, God deals with your spiritual body. I didn't say your spirit, I said your spiritual body. Because in the time of the resurrection, there will be some that will be resurrected into everlasting contempt, and some to everlasting life. This is speaking of the ultimate. This is speaking of the ultimate judgment, but the punishment will be in a spiritual body, not a natural body. Daniel chapter 12, verse 2, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Jesus said to the Jews, destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days. He was speaking of the resurrection of his body. They wanted to see a sign, and the Lord showed them the sign of Jonah. Jesus said that no sign will be given except the sign of Jonah. Jonah was in the belly of a fish for 3 days. This was a type and shadow of Jesus being in the bowels of the earth for 3 days. But when Jonah came out of the belly of the fish, he was still in a fallen natured body. But when Jesus came from out of the bowels of the earth, he continued on to get his celestial resurrected body. Jesus showed them a real sign, which was true resurrection. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Everlasting life is not possible in a fallen natured body, because our fallen natured bodies are not everlasting. It would have to be in our celestial bodies, our resurrected bodies. John 5, chapter 5, verse 24. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. We pass into eternal life by change, by resurrection. Okay, so what does eternal life actually mean? Well, life itself. Life means a healthy physical, spiritual, and mental existence, a functional, living, breathing, growing, reproducing, thinking being. True life is the way and manner of living that keeps us living forever. Life is the substance of God that gives us energy and strength. It is the vital force of essence. What does eternal mean? Eternal means infinite, timeless, endless, ceaseless, undying, everlasting, never ending. When we speak of eternal, it could be described as a metaphysics existing outside all relations of time, space, and realms, not subject to change. Eternal means that we, being at one time natural men, have entered the seven mind or the perfect mind of God. Eternal means to enter into God's dimension. It means to always be in the now. Jesus was the first one who was truly resurrected. Everyone else before his resurrection had their spirit to simply return to their bodies. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, so that where I am, there ye may be also. There are many dwelling places. many celestial bodies, many glorified bodies, like his glorified body in the Father's house. And Jesus went to prepare a place for us. He went to prepare bodies for us. But he had to go first. And now that he went first, we are to follow. True resurrection is to be changed, resurrected into your celestial body, your spiritual body, and then made visible in this realm for everyone to see with their natural eye, with their natural eyes to be visible, but being alive at the same time and able to appear and disappear at will. And we will never see death ever again. Exactly how Jesus demonstrated when he appeared to his disciples in the upper room with the doors closed and locked. Jesus has that celestial body right now, and so does all of the saints who have slept in the Lord, even those who Jesus will bring with him when he returns. Jesus talked about resurrection when he spoke of a mustard seed. Luke chapter 13 verse 19, it is like a grain of mustard seed which a man took and cast into his garden, and it grew and waxed a great tree, and the fowls of the air lodged in the branches of it. He spoke of change, a metamorphosis. And Paul tried to explain it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 40. There are also celestial bodies, heavenly bodies, and bodies terrestrials, which means earthy bodies. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. Verse 42 through 44. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. Like I mentioned in the previously about Jesus, I said that when Jesus was resurrected, there were saints that came back to life because the power of the resurrection. But they came back to life in their fallen natured bodies because Jesus had to first go to the Father to prepare a place for us. And then we experience true resurrection. Matthew 27, verse 50 and 53. I'm sorry, 50 through 53. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain or in two from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the city and appeared unto many. They came back to life, but it wasn't their resurrection. It wasn't the time of their resurrection. It was the time of the resurrection of Jesus. And that had to happen first. 1 Corinthians 15:20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Verse 22, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ, the first fruits, afterwards they that are Christ at his coming. There's an order. Jesus first, then us. Jesus died openly, and he had to show himself openly after his resurrection in this natural realm. And he showed them his resurrected body That's why he showed himself first to his disciples in the upper room, and later he showed himself to hundreds and then thousands to this very day. Jesus is still showing himself. Luke 24, verse 36, and as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. He was in his resurrected body. He showed himself in the natural realm so they could see him and touch him. But they thought he was a spirit at first because he just appeared before them. They had to see the type of body they were going to receive when they sleep or die. That's why they were not afraid of death, because they were going to receive kingdom bodies, celestial bodies, glorified bodies, resurrected bodies. They knew that they were going to keep on living after they shed or dropped their natural bodies. We must follow the same pattern of Jesus Christ in all that he demonstrated. Starting first with the baptism of Jesus. Jesus was baptized with a new birth baptism into the Melchizedek priesthood. Secondly, Jesus received the sevenfold anointing of the Holy Spirit. And thirdly, Jesus ate with his disciples as he partook of the bread and the wine and called it his body. And then finally, he died and was resurrected into a celestial body. Jesus demonstrated the glorified body of Shekinah light that we will also have when he was transfigured on the mount, that same type of body. This was to show Peter, James, and John the true revelation of who he is. He was the Ancient of Days right in their midst. It was God. He demonstrated Emmanuel, God with us, right before their very eyes. Matthew 17, 2, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. We are going to be able to grow into a place in God that we will house the pure glory of God and shine, even glow, just as Jesus shines now and glows right now. And it is because Jesus made it possible. He, as a man, went on into glory before us. Jesus gave us many examples and demonstrations of his ministry, even the healing of those who were sick, the casting out of demons, and the raising of the dead. And all of these things are given to us to do as well. His life was to show us how to walk in great favor with God and to do his ministry on this earth by supernaturally meeting the needs of the people. He showed us how to love God and love people. And then he ultimately became the sacrificial lamb of God and died for our sins and was resurrected in order for us to be sons of God, just like he is the Son of the living God. Jesus even unveiled to us the revelation of those who will not see death in this hour. They will be changed into their resurrected bodies as they live. In a moment, according to Paul's revelation in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 through 55, he says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep or die, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is your victory? We are following that same pattern. Except some of us will not see death. But we will all be changed into our resurrected celestial bodies. After we are truly resurrected, then we will no longer die. Our celestial bodies cannot die because we have entered into eternity. We have entered into the realm where our beginning becomes no beginning and our end becomes never ending. Keep in mind that when Jesus comes, he's going to bring those saints that had died years ago and recent with him, the recent saints with him. And we will see them in this natural realm as resurrected people. 1 Thessalonians 4:14, for since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring those who have fallen asleep. God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. They are still alive. Christians don't die. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And scripture is consistent. It consistently speaks of the resurrected body. Many people don't believe it, but when the Lord says that we will have eternal life, we must believe it. The Lord said in John 3:16, that if we believe in him, we will not perish, but have everlasting life. Well, this is what the Lord said. We must believe that. We must use our faith and know it is true. When we drop this outer shell, we shall keep living in the presence of the Lord. Even Paul got this revelation when he first talked about the resurrection in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle, meaning this fallen nature body, were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not built with hands, eternal in the heavens, our spirits. For in this we groan, in this, that is to say, in our fallen nature and bodies, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven, our celestial, spiritual, resurrected bodies. If so, being clothed, we shall not be found naked. Even in our spirit form, we still desire a body, a spiritual celestial body, so that we will not be naked. All of this speaks of resurrection. But as we continue to read, Paul speaks of us being alive and changed. Verse 4, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan, once again in this fallen nature body right now. We do groan, being burdened. We are always uncomfortable, hurting, aching, tired, out of shape, and growing old. We are burdened in these bodies. Not for that we would be unclothed, although we are burdened, we still don't want to be unclothed or to say without a body, but clothed upon that mortality might be swallowed up of life. We're going to stop right there, and God bless you all. I'll be here next week as we continue to unveil the mystery of who Jesus is. Here's Jonathan Butler.
You're everything to me. You're the sweetest song I've heard. my life, Lord Jesus. You're everything to me. You're the sweetest song I sing. You are my everything. My home, my song, my strength.
Thank you for joining us, everybody. God bless you. Have a blessed week. And don't forget to tune in on Wednesday at 8 p.m. for Christian Talk with T. Meyer and Tasila, TNT. Okay, God bless you all. Hope we've been a blessing. Tell your friends to dial in or to listen from their computer next week, next Monday at 3 p.m. Pacific time. Okay? And just tell them to check their time zone. This is a worldwide ministry, a worldwide radio program. So God bless you. Bye-bye.